Just want to read a passage of scripture. This comes from Psalm 116. It says, I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. Psalm 116, what an amazing start to that psalm. Today we're going to do something a little bit different. For a while now, I've been wanting to spend some time with Alan. This is Alan Butler, minister previous to the last minister. What years were your years of service?
84 to 96
here at Addleston Baptist Church. And ever since I've been here, Alan has been a good friend for me and supported me and always encouraged me. And when we were doing our summer series where we had the interviews with people, at that point I thought, wouldn't it be great if we could get Alan back and just have spend a bit of time? I'd love to glean the wisdom that he has and just be blessed by that. It didn't work out then. But I mentioned Alan in a message a couple of weeks ago. We were talking about living life to the full. And then we found out that you were going to be here this weekend. And I thought, well, throw out whatever we had planned. Let's spend some time. So if it's all right with you, we're just going to have an interview and just listen a little bit to Alan's story and any wisdom and blessings that you want to bring to us. We gratefully receive. Is that all right?
Yes.
Fantastic. Right. So, Alan, tell us how you came to faith. I guess that's the beginning of the story. You're going to need the mic.
I first was sent to Sunday school by my parents, who didn't go to church, but my father had been, when he was very small, had been connected with East Plumstead Baptist Church in southeast London. So he remembers telling me that the church then was in what they called the Tin Tabernacle, because it was one of these not a solid building, but made out of... And he and his friends used to, during the service, if they didn't go to the service, would throw stones onto the roof. And the stones would go bong, 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 all the way down. That's the background I got to a religious upbringing. But they sent me to the Baptist Church when it was firmly established. In 1941, at the height of the war, the Sunday school was still running. But Mum used to take me up, and then an hour or so later, they'd come and click me and bring me home. And I grew up in the Sunday school, and I went to a youth organisation which still exists called Christian Endeavour. And it's one of the best things I ever did, because in Christian Endeavour, they made you do things. They made you chair meetings. They made you write minutes. They made you look after finances. They taught you how to share your faith, if you had any. And in 1952, in July 1952, I came to know Jesus as my Saviour, because the Christian Endeavour leaders, Charles and Ivy Mace Hardiman, double-barreled name, were godly, lovely people. They had no children of their own. They couldn't have children, so they had the children of the church. And their home was always open to us. We could go within reason at any time of the day and sit and talk to them. And so I came to Christ in 1952 and was baptized in 1953 and joined the church the same year. And that's how I came to
Him. Yeah. And you felt the call to join full-time ministry, full-time paid ministry?
Yeah, when I was 15 or 16, of course I had ideas what I wanted to do, but I was working. But I said to the pastor, Arthur Hallworth, who was a lovely, godly, godly man. It radiated the Lord Jesus. Pastor, you know, I want to be a minister. And he said, oh, yes, Alan. Fine, okay. So he said, I'll give you some books to read, and I want you to write something about them. Of course, I didn't do it. I was too busy chasing girls and just playing tennis and just enjoying life a little. I wasn't wild, but... So that was my first... And then 60 years ago this year, I met the woman who changed my life, who is sitting over there. We've known one another 60 years, and we've been married 57 next year, God willing.
Praise God.
And she was was the daughter of a missionary. And so she knew what it was to be in a family where people had received the call of God and had obeyed. Her parents went to the mission field, and at one time they left Margaret behind for a number of years. And there were dear people in Northern Ireland who took care of Margaret and Alan. Her brother was called Alan too, which was confusing. So she didn't see her parents for a number of years. That's the sort of dedication that Margaret grew up with. And then we went to a meeting, a Sudan Interior Mission meeting, SIM, and it was one of the American directors who was over, and he was speaking, and he said, we need people on the field to go into the literature ministry. Now, I've always been interested in Christian books. So I said to Margaret, do you think this is for us? And she said, yes. And so we applied to the mission, and that was it. We've been in Christian work since 1965 now.
Wow.
In various areas.
Yep. And so eventually you find yourself being called to Addleston.
My first,
what was that process?
After missions, so work, I was advised that I should go to Bible college. So I went to the Irish Baptist College. Because it was a good evangelical college. Not that Spurgeon's wasn't, but I just didn't feel the call to Spurgeon's. And we have a lot of contact with Ireland, and Margaret's father was a Belfast man. So I went to the Irish Baptist College, did 3 years there, got their diploma, was all set to go back to Africa to do... teaching in schools. But the Lord decided otherwise, and the mission said, well, we stay at home, and would I do deputation? In other words, going around a certain area from church to church, talking about the mission and preaching on a Sunday. So I said, after we'd prayed about and talked about it, I said, yes, I'll do it. And we did that for 5 years, and then God called me into the ministry. And I went to a place called Thornbury, which isn't very far. Thornbury is just north of Bristol. And I was there for just over seven and a half years. And that was my first pastorate. I became a pastor at the age of 40, which is unheard of these days. You know, they're all young men, or much younger men. And then... towards the end of that, I began to feel, no, my work here is done. And so I spoke to the folk and said, to the people in Baptist Union, you know, the area superintendents and whatever. Is there any possibility of moving into this part of the world? So after a while, they said, yes, there are two or three churches. But Adelston are looking for a pastor. So I came and preached here and looked around at the place, looked at the people.
So there's some serious work to be done here.
No, they looked at me. Probably looked at me and said, there's serious work to be done with him as well. Which is true, because the one thing you will learn, and I hope you're learning, that churches teach you things about yourself.
Very much so.
Churches teach you things. You just don't listen to him all the time and do what he says, although you do, because God has called him to be your minister, your pastor, your shepherd. But he can learn from you as he visits you, as he preaches to you. Martin Lloyd-Jones, the great preacher of a bygone age, said a lot of his pastoral visiting was done from the pulpit, because he would look at the faces of his people as he preached, and he would see what effect the preaching was having on his people. And afterwards he would stand at the door and said, and a person would come through and he'd read something in their face. And he'd say, can I speak to you? Can you spare me a little? Just wait to one side. And he said a lot of his pastoral visiting began from the pulpit and then when he was talking to the people on a one-to-one basis. Mm. So don't sit there with stony faces. Just look, sit there with your normal face on.
No, you said no stony faces.
No stone.
So,
when I was pastor here, the pulpit was that end. But things have changed. And the only thing I would do if I were regular pastor here now, I'd probably get a crick in the neck going backwards and forwards, looking at people.
So you were pastor here for how many years?
12 years.
Everyone's sitting here thinking, is he going to tell a really funny story? What was his funniest memory? What was his wonderful anecdotes?
We're just walking out that way, Stephen and I, and I said, I've been in that pool a few times. And I have.
Yeah.
Praise God for all the right reasons.
Baptisms.
Baptisms, yeah.
Wonderful.
And there's nothing that delights a pastor's heart more than seeing anybody, young or old, come to know Christ as Saviour and then say, I want to testify to the fact that I'm a believer, that I follow Jesus and I'm going to follow him through the waters of baptism. And that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
Was your question.
No, that's fantastic. You're a preacher. Your heart is preaching and teaching.
Yeah, and the thing in the last year, because of my health, I've not been able to preach for a long time. This is the first time, apart from the memorial service for my dear daughter, Judith, I've been able to stand up, or sit down, actually, in front of a congregation and talk. And you can hear me, and my voice isn't... My mind is relatively clear, because I have some sort of brain thingy that is caused by toxins not being flushed through the system. But we're dealing with that problem. This is fine.
Yeah. But... Yeah. So our series at the moment is entitled Living Life to the Full.
Yeah.
And I cited you a couple of weeks ago, unbeknown to you, that you, for me, represented someone who lives life to the full. Do you feel like you live life to the full?
Not now I don't, because I'm jolly well restricted. I mean, yesterday, the family took, we went to Savile Gardens, and I couldn't walk very far in. And it's a beautiful place to go, and I couldn't walk very far because, you know, I get... So physically, I'm restricted. Mentally, I'm getting my mind back together again. Spiritually, but you're always growing. You never reach the place where you... I've arrived.
So you may not, it may not be full, but it's filling up all the time.
It's filling up. Hopefully, it's filling up. You have to keep close to Jesus. It's what you have to do. Keep close to Jesus. And then the things of the church, the things of faith, the things of what you're doing for him will become more intense, more real. If you realize you're not doing it for the church, you're not doing it for the pastor, you're not doing it for your fellow believer, you're doing it for the Lord Jesus. And when you do it for the Lord Jesus, he puts his hand upon you, he blesses you even.
I was going to ask you if there was one piece of wisdom that you'd want to pass on to us here, but you've sort of almost just passed it on.
Yeah, well, that's it. The more I think about it, and I get time to think, I read quite a bit and watch the TV and listen to the radio. But you spend time thinking, and I say to myself, I've not been as close to the Lord Jesus as I should have done. I'm trying to put that right. It's a bit late when you're 82, but it's never too late to realize that you need to get closer to the Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
Because he's the head of this church.
Amen.
Yeah. It's his church, it's not ours. It's his. And he wants us to be the best for him. That psalm that you read has come to mean a great deal to us as a family, to me personally and us as a family. It's the psalm that was read at Judith's Thanksgiving service. The whole psalm is life in a nutshell. It really is a wonderful psalm.
Shall I read it?
Yeah,
can I read it?
Please.
It says, I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I trusted in the Lord when I said, I am greatly afflicted. In my alarm, I said, everyone is a liar. What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of those faithful to him. Truly I am your servant, Lord. I am your servant as was my mother before me. You have loosed my bonds of affliction. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, Jerusalem. Praise the Lord.
Now, isn't that life? Isn't that life from beginning to end with all its twists and turns, all its joys, all its sorrows? It's in that psalm. And it was particularly for Judith. There are some of you here who remember Judith because she was a member of this church whilst we lived here. Judith, my elder daughter, suffered a road traffic accident when she was 18 years of age and passed away in July of this year, age 55. So for 37 years, she was in a wheelchair. And from her teenage years through her 20s, she was a talented artist. We put some of her art on display at the Thanksgiving service, and people were knocked over by some of the stuff that her favourite artist was Salvador Dali. Would you believe that? But she was a fashion designer. Her fashion designs for the age in which they were done, the 1970s, were, and some of her ideas are coming back into fashion again now. So she'd be laughing her head off. But that psalm came to me after she died, and I realized that it was her life. But it was everybody's life. We can all, if you read Psalm 116 when you get home, prayerfully and carefully, and say, Lord, this is me, isn't it? I have been in that situation, in that situation, in that situation, and you have been there all the time with me. Hmm. There's not a moment when you haven't been with me. I may not have been with you. I may have tried to do things my own way, but you've always been with me, gently moving me back or calling me or doing something in my life that drives me back into your presence. Mm-hmm. And what a place to be driven back into the presence of the Lord Jesus. Yeah. Now, Judith and those dear folk who were part of this church when I was pastor, there are some faces I recognize, but there are some people who have gone into the presence of the Lord. So they, and Judith alike, have seen a fulfillment of that Psalm 116.
Alan, thank you so much.
I just want to say, there are three little baby girls here that I dedicated. I went there, yeah.
Which three?
And now I see them as grown women, not as good looking as their mother, but they're working towards it. It was a joy and a privilege to be pastor of this church. We went through some hard times, some difficult times, some very sad times. You remember that, don't you, Brian? Your dear father. My, that was a terrible day. That was. Dear Sid, bless him. We never always agreed, Sid and I, but we had respect for each other. And he died just at the beginning of a BB service here in this church. The companies were due to march in, and with the officers, and they were out in the hall there, and Sid collapsed. And at that time, we had a nurse who was specialised in heart trouble, and she said to me, I think he's gone, but the ambulance came. So we've been through our sad times, but we've been through our joyful times when the baptistry has been open and we've baptised people, and we've heard testimonies, and we've seen people saved here, and We've had good times, wonderful times here, when the presence of the Lord was here, and souls were saved. And dear, you talked about Ethel. Mm. Bless her, Ethel. I'm clearing out stuff in my files, And I found a letter, a part of a church magazine where you looked at members of the diaconate and their background, and she was a deacon then. And she said that she had been going to an Anglican church, but she was at the end of herself, and she had turned her back upon religion. But she somehow, someone brought her here, and she said, "Alan spoke to me. No, I was in the congregation, but it was as if he was speaking to me." And I went home, and I cried the rest of the day. And at the end of the day, I knew that Jesus was my Saviour.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So I had something to do with that wonderful woman who was such a... I mean, I consulted her over so many things because I knew of her spirituality. I knew of her... the fact that she would never tell anybody anything that I shared with her. And I shared with her the fact at the end that I felt called to leave Addlestone. And she said that would be a sad day for us, but if that's your... But I'll pray for you. I said, well, if you're praying for me, I'm all right. Because she was a prayer warrior.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great woman of prayer, and a sweet, simple, spiritual soul that affected many lives in this church. She was a dear lady.
Yeah.
And she was my prayer partner. Mm. Ethel, pray for me on this. I'll do that, Alan.
Yeah. Yeah. She was mine too.
Yeah.
While she was here. Alan, it's been an absolute privilege to hear you speak once again and share wisdom and encouragement. And we want to say to you just how deeply valued and loved you are by us. You've served this church faithfully, not just while you were pastor here, but since then, with your relationship with the people here, continuing, and even with me, you're such an encouragement right from the beginning, and continue to be. And we want to honour you in the presence of all of us, and in the presence of God. We want to say thank you so much for what you've been able to do for us, and ultimately what you have been able to do for the Lord Jesus.
Praise God for that.
Praise God.
He gets the glory.
He does indeed.
He gets the glory. We get the blessing, he gets the glory.
Hallelujah.
That's a good deal, that is.
Amen.
That's a good
deal. Well, thank you, Alan. We're going to hand over to Jackie, who'll lead us through a time of sun worship.